Welcome to All Business No Boundaries, a collection of supply chain stories by DHL Supply Chain, the North American leader in contract logistics. I'm your host, Will Haywood. This is a place for in-depth discussions about the supply chain challenges keeping you up at night. We're breaking beyond the boundaries that are limiting your supply chain. Today's episode is an intentional approach to re-commerce, delivering practical sustainability in the supply chain. Our guests are Marcus Chung, Chief Operating Officer at Koyuchi, and Drew Taranto, Senior Director of Strategy, DHL Supply Chain. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome to you both. I'm really glad you're joining us today. I've been looking forward to this episode. We'll start like we always do. I'd like you each to introduce yourself, your name, your company, and your role there. And then we'll dive into the conversation. So Marcus, could you kick us off?
Yep, I will. I'm Marcus Chung. I'm COO at Koyuchi. For those who don't know, Koyuchi is a sustainable bedding and bath brand. So we make home textiles. We are omni-channel. We are primarily through our own D2C e-commerce channel, koyuchi.com, but also sold in many boutiques around the U.S., a few different majors. And we have one store that's in California, Northern California.
And that's where you're based, right?
We are, yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, Drew.
Yeah, so Drew Taranto. I'm a Senior Director of Strategy and Product Development for DHL Supply Chain. Really responsible for our growth strategy within e-commerce, so where we're growing from a business, but tied in very closely with our customers and in learning more about what's going on in the market and supporting them in their growth initiatives. So happy to be here, Will.
Okay, so Marcus, Koyuchi, sustainable bed company, when we talked before, it's an older company than I thought it was. Can you give us the history?
Yeah, so we were founded in 1991. And our founder was really focused on trying to build an organic supply chain back then. That was before organic was popular or, you know, at all in fashion. And she found that it was really challenging but rewarding to figure out how can we create organic cotton products. And the motivation she had was to be able to encourage more farmers around the world to convert their practices to organic, which she believed is better for the planet. So it was really a mission-driven founding of the company, and from there have really grown to be able to create distinctive, beautiful products in the home textiles category.
Yeah, I know it's attracted the attention of a lot of our marketing team, your products. You also mentioned that there's been kind of rapid growth in the last 5-10 years. What are some of the factors that have driven that?
I think there's a few different factors. I think there's some macroeconomic factors, like just the consumer is more interested in sustainable product than before. So the awareness of what you're buying, what you're using, and the impact it has on not only your own health and wellness, but on the planet as well. So that trend, I think, really helped with Koyuchi. I think the other is just we really embraced e-commerce and going digital first. So as you can imagine, when we were first founded, we mostly were sold through wholesale accounts. And, you know, e-commerce wasn't a thing back in the 90s. And as e-commerce, as we built out our e-commerce site and put more effort into that channel, it really just has become our primary channel and has grown tremendously.
Got it. Okay. So that's a nice segue to you, Drew. Can you talk a little bit about DHL's e-commerce business? I'll note Koyuchi is not a customer of ours yet, but we seem to have a lot in common in terms of what we've been doing for other customers.
Yeah. So, you know, the DHL supply chain story, you know, is quite interesting in the e-commerce space. You know, we've been doing it for almost 2 decades now. I think Marcus's comment, nothing was e-commerce in the 90s. And kind of in the early days, we were helping kind of pioneer for a few key customers and getting in the e-commerce space. And we've really grown since then. I think what's been really interesting in our journey is you look at really the traditional categories, apparel, fashion, consumer electronics being kind of those key areas of e-commerce that have been kind of the staples, but more and more of our customers now over the past 5 years have really started to embrace e-commerce, mainly because they've been pushed into it, into this omni-channel world now. the pressures that are coming out in the marketplace, that you have to have ways to get to the customer, not just through brick and retail, brick and mortar, but, you know, through the parcel direct to the doorstep. So we're now supporting everything from direct to consumer fertilizer to coffee machines to car tires, you know, name the product category. We're all over the place now and continuing to grow in both that e-commerce and omnichannel space. So it's been an exciting journey and we do not see it slowing down anytime soon.
Right. Good. Good. So e-commerce is a hot trend, and sustainability is also a hot trend. And Marcus, I think you made the good point that you guys were a little bit ahead of the curve on that. But when you guys think about supply chain sustainability, what does that mean? How does it how do you bring that to bear in your day-to-day business?
Yeah, we think about that in a few different ways. So, you know, we are very focused on sustainability in almost everything that we do. We still are very focused on organic and working with farmers. We can trace back our supply chain all the way to the farm level, which I think very few brands can do. We've also been working with farmers on regenerative agriculture, which we think has the potential to have an impact on climate change in a way that organic doesn't. Although there's no certification for that, it is sort of like something we're piloting with.
And what does regenerative agriculture mean?
Yeah, so regenerative agriculture is really thinking through soil health and being able to introduce farming practices like crop rotation, cover crops that really protect the health of the soil. And through that, you know, there's studies that show that we can sequester carbon out of the atmosphere and back into the earth. So combating some of the negative effects of industrial farming and other practices that have contributed to climate change.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Drew, from the DHL side, you want to talk a little bit about, I know you're not the expert on sustainability, but it does impact our operations across all of our sectors. How does it come to life in the e-commerce world?
Yeah, in the e-commerce space, it's quite interesting, especially when you look at the growth, obviously, in e-commerce and the amount of parcels that are going through, right? So you've added a lot more transportation into the mix and, you know, creating a lot more emissions through that process. So when you really look at it, especially in the DHL lens with e-commerce, it's really about being more efficient with less. And when that comes into things like packaging materials that we look at when we're packing out orders, how are we being as efficient as possible with the materials that we're using? How do we look at, you know, the movement of parcels? So we're not sending stuff all the way across the country. How do we start shortening things up? So we've got a lot of small wins that we got to build up to from a sustainability lens in the e-commerce space. We're a long ways from it, but I think we need to start looking at it that way as opportunities arise. And then, you know, I think one of the really big emerging areas that I know we're probably going to talk about a little bit is on the recob space. And I might want to save that one a little bit because I know that's part of the story that we want to talk about a little bit. I know, Marcus, you've got some interesting things on your end.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, why don't you tell us about some of the programs you have on the secondhand or re-commerce front?
Yeah. So we launched our re-commerce program in 2017. I think we were the first home brand to introduce a program like this. So we offer the opportunity to our customers to take back old Koichi product when it reaches toward the end of life or when they're ready to refresh their bedding or bath. We take that product back and with a partner goes through an industrial cleaning and refurbishment and then is resold on our second home renewed site. So that offers the opportunity for customers who are interested in, you know, in re-commerce to be able to purchase Koichi product that is really in great condition. But, you know, we know that there's a customer who values the lower price point or really values not buying anything new. So we have that opportunity for that customer.
And is that a trend, people wanting secondhand things or not wanting to buy new things?
I think it is a trend. I mean, you know, secondhand has been around for decades, right? You know, so it's not a new concept, but I do think that there is an awareness that, especially in apparel and soft goods, that there's too much stuff and that we don't need to be producing and going through stuff as quickly as we do. and trying to be a more conscious consumer. Part of that is, are there ways to buy things that already exist so you don't have to use new and natural resources to create something that really doesn't have a reason for being? So I do think that there's a consumer out there who's really focused on buying with her values, and not buying new is a movement that we've seen emerging among a subset of customers.
Yeah, interesting. And the website that you mentioned, how would a listener find that?
Yeah, so our re-commerce site, let me look it up, actually. So,
while you're doing that, Drew, we've got some action in re-commerce as well, don't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, just kind of building off of Marcus's point, I think it's really funny when you think about re-commerce, it's not like new, right? So like we talk about it as a trend, but it's not new. I always like reflect on my experiences in re-commerce. It was like going to the thrift store with my mom to get clothes, or going with like my grandma, like Saturday mornings to garage sales to like buy toys, right? So like we've always as consumers like found secondhand goods. And, you know, this re-com trend is really starting to get interesting with what we call the brand-led re-commerce, kind of what Marcus is referring to, where we're seeing a lot of our customers and brands say, look, my product is getting sold elsewhere and I have no control over that. And quite frankly, you know, I've got, you know, sustainability goals of exactly to Marcus's point of reducing carbon emissions and really just the amount of available resources to make things. So we're seeing that brand-led re-commerce kind of emerge in a different way. And as Marcus alluded to, it's attracting new customers for these brands. It's providing a new revenue source, you know, at a channel that wasn't there before. And ultimately, it's helping divert things from landfill that might not have, you know, been able to, that could have gotten a second life that maybe shouldn't. So, you know, Will, to your question on the DHL side, that's really where we're focusing a lot of time and effort with my team is on that re-commerce space. We think there's a huge extension of taking, you know, obviously returned inventory that maybe can't go back into stock as new and finding ways to recover it and find that second life and help continue to drive, you know, those sustainability goals for our customers. But it just makes sense. It's just common sense the way it can kind of flow through. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think that's what we're most excited about is kind of where this continues to go out into the future, because we see brands that are kind of experimenting. I think there's a little bit of fear of what is this going to do to my business? But I think long term, as Marcus alluded to, the consumer is looking at other values. It's not always about, you know, what's my price point? It's what is this doing for the earth? And I think that's going to really drive a lot of this forward.
And if I could just add on to that, because I think you're right, Drew, this space is so dynamic. And we started our program 7 years ago. And today there's so many more players and different ways of thinking about extending the life of product. So today, you know, our second home site is a separate website, but I think by the time this podcast is actually released, we're in the process of integrating it into our main site. So it will be on our main navigation. There will be an opportunity to click in and purchase renewed product that isn't available today. But that ability to integrate it into the main site was not available to us when we launched it in 2017.
Gotcha. So that's the answer to the website question.
Yes. which is why I don't know.
It was a timely question, and it turns out. Drew, are you seeing the demand go up from customers, or are we taking this out to them?
Yeah, it's really, we've been monitoring it for quite a while, and we've been supporting customers on and off through this. But I think a lot of what we're seeing is customers are coming to us looking for solutions. And I think what they've seen in the marketplace today is the re-commerce space is kind of uncharted lands, you know, if you will, in trying to figure out how you launch a program that is, you know, secondhand goods at the end of the day, it's different. Right. So when you think about, you know, how do I set up a site that supports this? What's the consumer's brand experience going to be? Because now I'm not selling something new. I'm selling something that has potentially a small defect or something different. So how do you start to overcome a different piece there? So what we're talking with the customers a lot now is how do we help enable the recon program? Because a lot of them understand that I need to set up all this website, but how do I on the supply chain set it up? In a lot of cases, it gets unique, well, in the sense of a lot of items are then unique items. So from a supply chain perspective, how do you store unique items? How do you make sure you're selling the exact item that the consumer was expecting? And so it adds a bit more complexity from a distribution standpoint, but that's exactly what we're here to support and help with and kind of help guide the brands through this process of learning of how these programs are going to start and how can they sustain them.
Yeah, and Marcus mentioned it's a pretty dynamic market, and I know there are some emerging players. Like who, what kind of partners are Marcus, you guys working with, and Drew, you at the DHL side? Yeah, either so, you can go first. So,
as I mentioned, you know, one of our initiatives is to integrate the front end into our main site, and there are a few players out there who are now enabling that ability, especially for brands that are on Shopify, like we are. So we've chosen to partner with Recurate, and they're helping us to do that integration because we don't have the technical expertise to figure out how do you marry these different individual SKUs into our main, you know, our main assortment. And fortunately, they've figured that out for us.
Yeah. Drew, how about you?
Yeah, it's great. So the approach that we're taking right now is, you know, we are experts at moving boxes, as I tell people, right? Inside these buildings, DHL, we do returns processing day in, day out. We do refurbishment tasks like, you know, sewing, ironing, and hammering that out. And what we've done in our approach with Recommerce is we've built an ecosystem of partners to work with so that ultimately our customers can choose the best Recommerce provider that best fits for them. So we're working with the teams at Archive, Arrive, and Trove to better enable that process. Through their expertise on web development, re-commerce strategy, and we're on the back end supplying all the supply chain needs to bring that together. And it's been really exciting to work with these teams.
Yeah, it is exciting because I think when we talk about sustainability, oftentimes with our customers, the discussion immediately goes to how much is this going to cost me? And here's an opportunity to, you know, actually, as you said, Drew, create an additional revenue stream while doing good on the sustainability front. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this continues into the future. Marcus, when we had our introductory call, you talked a little bit about, I think, some of the raw material, the sustainability angles that you've had in kind of your R&D and development of products. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that our designers think about is the end of life of a product and where does it go? Because we try at all costs to avoid landfill. So some of the guiding principles that they think about is we should try to do 100% single fiber products. So 100% cotton or 100% linen, because it's really difficult to recycle blends. Like a cotton poly blend is harder to recycle than 100% cotton. And that infrastructure of recycling is still very nascent in the US. And so I think that's another sort of logistics question is how do you work to think through the recycling aspect of something that can't actually be resold? Because as much as we are able to resell product, there's certainly some that falls out and just cannot be sold back to a customer. So we do recycle everything. And we put it through a stream that actually we've created a new product called the Full Circle Blanket that takes our own post-consumer waste that we recycle into new yarns into a new product. But it is extremely difficult to manage. The infrastructure and logistics are not where I'd like them to be. And so, you know, trying to do something innovative in this space creates all sorts of different challenges that may not exist yet. So that keeps the job fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could talk forever about returns, Drew, but maybe just scratch the surface on some of the things that you've got on the go in terms of overall returns, which, you know, recycling is a component of, but how are we, how's DHL approaching that with customers?
Yeah, it's funny is I always refer to returns as like the long neglected piece of the supply chain, right? It just kind of is there. And, you know, I think the traditional mind has been it's a cost of doing business. And I think the mind shift is starting to happen. And I think really where we're starting to help support is obviously cross categories. E-commerce obviously has been kind of the main headline grabber for returns, but there is still tons of returns happening both at the retail space as well. And how do we best, you know, handle returns, but ultimately how do we help recover as much as possible so we're not generating additional waste? So In many cases, give you an example for us, especially in the apparel fashion space, which is a high return category within e-commerce, we see recovery rates around over 90%. And we really try to put a lot of effort into item recovery so it can go back as new stock. In the cases right where we don't see it as going new stock, it's really about the process of what is the most, I guess, the best recom channel or best disposition type to not only maximize value, right? Because we're already losing money as we go through this process, but also how do we make sure we protect the brand depending upon what that channel looks like? So really helping support and guide our customers on those channel considerations, where to put the product based on the condition it is. So a lot of opportunity there. And I think, Will, the only other thing I would mention that's huge here is the data component of returns. And I think that's often been the missing link, I think, for what I said, the neglected part of the supply chain, is because we're not totally sure how big the problem is. We know the big numbers, right? But inherently, what is the true issue there to really bring it to someone's attention to say, we got to do something better here. And I think we have an opportunity to continue to drive and use analytics to understand why things are being returned. What can we do to prevent the return from the first place? And I think that's going to really start making the meaningful impact and trying to kind of tackle this problem in a more proactive way.
Yeah. And Marcus, I know beyond Koyuchi, you've had a long career in fashion and retail. What kinds of things have you seen either in your current spot or over your experience?
With returns? Sorry.
With returns, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is just like re-commerce, another area that is really dynamic. And every day I feel like there's another startup that's getting involved in return somehow. So, at Koyuchi, we're really interested in optimizing and streamlining the returns process all the way from the front end with the customer being able to like tell us as much as possible about what they're returning so that we can streamline that disposition process and make that more efficient. So I don't have answers, but this has evolved hugely from when I was at other companies and just starting to think about e-commerce returns. But, I think, Drew's right. This is an area that brands and companies are waking up to, like, can be really costly and needs optimization and needs streamlining.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So what's ahead for Koyuchi, Marcus? What do you guys have in the works?
Yeah. So I think, we're really excited about what re-commerce is going to look like once we integrate it into our site. I think there's a huge opportunity to make that a bigger part of the business. We're also excited about launching our second collection of the Full Circle Blanket, which again takes post-consumer waste from ourselves and creates a new product. And that's launching in April as well. So we have a lot that's happening around Earth Month that's focused on building on our sustainability leadership in even more tangible ways.
Great. And Drew, any insights into where DHL is going?
Yeah, I think to Marcus's point, we're hyper focused on the returns piece and being as efficient and optimized as much as possible. I think that like we talked about earlier, what I'm really excited about is the re-commerce piece. We've got some pilots lined up with some customers to bring the re-commerce program all encompassing in their DCs, where we're going to support not only all of the refurbishment tasks, but helping with all of the fulfillment. So that's the exciting thing I think we got ahead of us this year, Will, and looking forward to hopefully talking about it more here in the future.
Great. We'll plan to check back in with you sometime down the road. But I think that'll do it for today. I want to thank you both, Marcus in particular, for joining us on the podcast. Really interesting discussion and lots of dynamic stuff happening in the market that you guys are right in the middle of. So thanks for all of that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Marcus. Thanks, Will.
All right. Take care.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate us and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also re-listen to our entire library of episodes on our website, dhl.com/ABNB podcast. See you next time.